This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehias Wahib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Forward to a future with a strong and growing middle class, because we know a strong middle class has always been critical to America's success. And building that middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency.
That was presidential candidate Kamala Harris telling the Democratic National Convention that she plans to chart a new way forward. Details coming up also. The UN says it is working with governments and health officials to contain the mpox outbreak in Africa. And a rare convoy of humanitarian aid has reached Sudan via a temporarily reopened border crossing with Chad. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. Just a month after President Joe Biden announced he would not seek re-election, Kamala Harris accepted the nomination to be the Democratic Party's candidate in the U.S. presidential election. She contrasted her record and vision with that of a Republican rival, former President Donald Trump. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wida-Kuswara reports from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, Illinois.
What about us? What about all the times you said you had the answer?
Riveting musical performances during the final night of the Democratic National Convention included Pink, a national anthem sung by country group The Chicks.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
But Kamala Harris was the star of the night.
On behalf of everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation on earth, I accept your nomination to be President of the United States of America.
Harris told her personal life story, connecting it to middle-class voters' experiences.
We are charting a new way forward. Forward to a future with a strong and growing middle class, because we know a strong middle class has always been critical to America's success. And building that middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency.
She highlighted her background as a former prosecutor, in line with her party strategy to contrast against Republican nominee Donald Trump, who has been convicted in court.
Guilty.
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 Like many other speakers, she warned of a document outlining extreme right-wing policies linked to Trump. The former president denies it.
And we know what a second Trump term would look like. It's all laid out in Project 2025, written by his closest advisors. And its sum total is to pull our country back to the past. But America, we are not going back.
Inside the convention, it was all applause. Outside, pro-Palestinian rallies were held every day.
The protests outside have not swayed Harris' position on the war on Gaza. While she called out for more protection and aid for Palestinians, she reaffirmed support for Israel's security. She called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and a pathway towards a two-state solution.
Gaza is the Democrats' one area of disagreement. Out of around 4,700 delegates, 270 signed a petition demanding that the U.S. stop arming Israel. Out of around 4,700 delegates, 270 signed a petition demanding that the U.S. stop arming Israel. Harris' address to the nation came just a month after President Joe Biden announced he would not seek re-election.
Joe, I am filled with gratitude. Your record is extraordinary, as history will show, and your character is inspiring. And Doug and I love you and Jill and are forever thankful to you both.
As Harris spoke, Trump sought to reclaim attention by visiting the U.S.-Mexico border and hosting a social media event. but nothing dampened the delegates' enthusiasm.
She's setting us up for the future, a future we've been waiting for, a future that really represents everybody in this country. And we are elated that the wicked witch is dying and we're moving forward with a good life.
Kamala explained exactly what's at stake for this country. We're all flying the American flag. We all have USA, and that's for a reason, because this is a fight for this country.
Running mate Tim Walz joined Harris on stage to close out the convention with just 74 days to the election. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Chicago.
At the Democratic National Convention, U.S. diplomat and African foreign policy advisor Susan Rice said the United States must continue to strengthen its ties with African nations during the next administration. VOA's Carol Van Dam has more from the convention in Chicago.
Ambassador Susan Rice, who served on the National Security Council and in President Bill Clinton's administration as an Africa advisor, said the United States will stand up for American values around the world. In comments Tuesday, she also said the U.S. will stand up to its adversaries, but said Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump wants to go it alone. The Republican Party's presidential nominee paints a different picture. At a recent rally in North Carolina, former President Trump said 4 years ago when he was president, our country was strong like never before. Our allies admired us. Our enemies feared us. However, some foreign policy experts have said Trump is an isolationist, and Rice agrees with that assessment as she endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris as the Democratic Party's candidate.
I am excited for the prospect of electing Kamala Harris. As I said earlier, not only because she's a woman and a woman of color, but because I believe she will bring smart, principled, innovative leadership to the United States. She has already been able to take a historic trip to Africa as vice president, which I know she greatly valued and enjoyed. It was a historic visit, and the reception that she received was really quite remarkable. And I know that she looks forward as president to strengthening and deepening the ties of the United States to the people in the countries of Africa.
Rice made her comments at an event sponsored by the Foreign Press Center on the sidelines of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Rice noted how Harris was received warmly when she visited three African nations in March of 2023, beginning with Ghana, where President Nana Akufo-Addo told Harris, "You're welcome home." In Zambia, when she sat down with that country's leader, she was welcomed as a daughter of our own country. President Hakainde Hichilema said it was like a homecoming. He was referring to a trip she took to Zambia as a child when Harris's grandfather worked in the country. Rice pointed out that President Joe Biden has worked to strengthen ties with Africa, noting the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit held in Washington 2 years ago.
Many senior administration officials and cabinet officials and, of course, the vice president have followed up with their own visits and initiatives and policies for Africa. And I am confident that that will continue and intensify under President Harris.
When asked what the U.S. is doing about the conflicts with militant groups in Democratic Republic of Congo, Rice said she would not comment specifically on the Biden administration's policy toward that country. She noted fighting in the DRC is decades old.
Many senior administration officials and cabinet officials and, of course, the vice president have followed up with their own visits and initiatives and policies for Africa. And I am confident that that will continue and intensify under President Harris.
The United Nations says protracted violence in the eastern DRC have compounded a dire humanitarian crisis. Fighting in North Kivu province displaced more than 1.7 million people in late July, adding to the record 7.2 million displaced people in that country. Rice served as U.S. ambassador to the UN under President Barack Obama. She now is a distinguished visiting research fellow at American University's School of International Service. Carol Van Dam for VOA News at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, Illinois.
An African affairs expert says there is interest in Africa and the U.S. election at multiple levels. Academic institutions are observing the process closely while governments are focused on what a change in the White House could mean for their engagement with the U.S. But he also says U.S. policy towards Africa usually does not change much because policy on the continent is defined by U.S. national interests. Christopher Isiki is a professor of African politics and international relations and director at the African Center for the Study of the U.S. at the University of Pretoria, South Africa. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonier.
Well, the question really should be whether Africa should have any interest in the U.S. elections, given the leadership role of the U.S. in global affairs and their connections to Africa in varying ways. So I would say yes. But does this mean that Africa should be interested in the U.S. elections in ways that imply trying to influence it if we can? No. So interest for me means studying, you know, the U.S. elections with a view to preparing for any of the possible outcomes that are possible for us to get in, considering that we are inevitably connected to the United States. So to answer your question more directly, yes, there is interest in Africa in the U.S. elections at multiple levels. For academic centers like ours, the African Center for the Study of the United States here at the University of Pretoria, that study the U.S. as a nation and society, we are observing the elections quite closely. Governments in the continent also have an interest in the elections, you know, depending on the bilateral engagements that many of them have with the U.S. government and what a change in government in the U.S. would mean for such engagements. The AGOA, the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, is one such example for a country like South Africa, for instance. And then, of course, you have students of politics, political observers amongst the general population who follow U.S. elections for varying reasons.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, an African-American, is said to be formally nominated by the Democratic Party as their presidential candidate. What does this mean for Africa?
Well, this is related to what I said earlier, but on the U.S. side, let me be clear that U.S. policy towards Africa doesn't change so much in terms of how Africa is viewed and engaged, as this is usually defined by U.S. national interests, which never really change that much. Both parties in the U.S., the Democrat and Republican Party, have similar views about Africa, Africans and African leaders. What may change in this regard is how much priority a particular president chooses to give the continent. And usually this is shaped by, a number of external factors such as China or Russia, and, you know, of course, a number of geostrategic considerations as well.
That was Christopher Isiki, an African affairs expert at the University of Pretoria. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonier on the phone from Pretoria, South Africa. You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. And for more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. The World Food Programme says a rare convoy of humanitarian aid has reached Sudan via a temporarily reopened border crossing with Chad. The UN says more than a dozen aid trucks, including some from the WFP and the International Organization for Migration, have crossed into Darfur from Chad via the Adri border crossing in Sudan's west. The French news agency AFP reports the trucks were carrying sorghum, legumes, oil, and rice for around 13,000 people threatened with famine in the Kriniki region in western Darfur. The IOM brought essential relief items for around 12,000 people.
In a statement Thursday, the UNICEF Regional Director for Eastern and Southern Africa, Tleva Dalili, said more than 200 confirmed cases have been detected in five countries: Burundi, Kenya, Rwanda, South Africa, and Uganda. Kdili added that UNICEF is responding to the Mpox outbreak, which involves the new Clade 1B variant, alongside the World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as part of a government response with local partners. Dr. Francis Cassolo, director and head of the WHO and the Africa Union and UN Economic Commission for Africa, summed up the MPOX situation on the continent in a joint WHO-Africa CDC meeting.
There's still much work to be done. It is imperative that we remain vigilant and proactive in our efforts to combat MPOX. This means not only addressing the immediate needs, but also investing in long-term strategies that will build resilient health systems capable of withstanding future outbreaks and shocks.
Last week, the WHO declared MPOX a public health emergency of international concern, following a surge of MPOX in the Democratic Republic of Congo and a growing number of other African countries. Botswana and Zimbabwe are some of the countries now screening for MPOX after their neighbor South Africa recorded 3 deaths from the new strain. Douglas Mumbashora, Zimbabwe's health minister, says because people come and go as they choose, his government wants to minimize cases of MPOX in his country. Hence, they have begun screening for the viral ailment at all ports of entry.
And we have said all those who present with the temperature and the rash should be thoroughly investigated where they are coming from and for how long they have been there, any possible contacts with people who have had monkeypox, and appropriate measures and tests can be done.
Dr. Norman Matara of Zimbabwe's Doctors for Human Rights says given the country's poor health delivery system, keeping MPOX out is better than trying to contain it after cases appear.
It saves the nation a lot of money because treatment is always expensive. It also prevents us from unnecessary lockdowns, restrictions of movements, and so forth, like what we saw with COVID-19.
Besides a rash, other symptoms of the viral infection can include lesions, muscle aches, and swollen lymph glands. Most people fully recover, but some become very ill and die. For Columbus Mavhunga, I'm Steve Miller, VOA News.
In north-central Nigeria, a local official says armed men killed at least 13 farmers in the state of Niger. No group immediately claimed responsibility. The Associated Press reports that Akilu Isiayuku, a local government official, suggested to a local radio station, Crystal FM, that the farmers were attacked for providing information to intelligence agencies about the movements of the gunmen. North central Nigeria has been plagued by fights for control over water and land resources between nomadic herders and rural farmers. The area is also known for frequent kidnappings for ransom. Turkey has been mediating between Ethiopia and Somalia, which are locked in a dispute mainly over sea access for Ethiopia. At issue is a deal that Ethiopia signed earlier this year with the breakaway region of Somaliland. Ankara's mediation efforts are seen as underlying its growing influence in the strategic Horn of Africa region. Dorian Jones reports from Istanbul.
Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan described this month's second round of talks between his Ethiopian and Somali counterparts as constructive, even though no deal was reached. Ethiopian-Somali tensions have been on the rise since January, when Ethiopia signed a memorandum of understanding with Somaliland, a breakaway state from Somalia. Under the agreement, Ethiopia would secure sea access in exchange for recognizing the breakaway state, a deal condemned by Somalia for infringing on its territorial integrity. Geopolitical consultant Norman Rickliffe offered his assessment of the situation.
Obviously, Ethiopia needs access to a coastline. It's the second largest country in Africa. It's a booming economy. And somehow that deal needs to be made. But it's not going to be easy because of the previous deal earlier this year with Somaliland.
Somalia this week threatened to block access to Ethiopian airlines in the latest round of diplomatic tensions. But analysts say Ankara is well placed to mediate, given its historical and deepening ties with both countries. Elem Ereger Tepecioğlu is an African studies professor at the Social Sciences University of Ankara.
Turkey established its largest embassy in Somalia's capital. It also established its largest military training facility again in Somalia. But Turkey also has old and established relations with Ethiopia as well.
The Somali parliament ratified an agreement earlier this year under which Turkey will help protect its territorial waters and participate in the search for hydrocarbons there. Turkey is one of the largest investors in Ethiopia. Analysts say more than diplomatic kudos are at stake for Ankara in resolving the Ethiopia-Somalia tensions, given the region's location on one of the world's key trade routes and vast untapped potential. Again, geopolitical consultant Norman Rickliffs.
There's a reason why the Horn of Africa has American military bases, Chinese military bases, Japanese even have a base in that area. It's hydrocarbon resources and other resources like agricultural resources and have not been developed and would need networks of infrastructure that a country like Turkey could provide if there was security and stability.
Talks are set to resume in September. Analysts say success would underscore Turkey's growing influence in a region of increasing international competition. Dorian Jones, VOA News, Istanbul.
And in our sports segment, I'm talking with our VOA sports analyst, Mokbele Yabaro. Welcome to Africa News Tonight, Mokbele.
Thanks for having me, Hayes.
So, week two of the English Premier League has some huge matchups. Can you tell us a few to look forward to over the weekend?
Absolutely. So if we're just going to start with the very first game coming up on Saturday, Brighton versus Manchester United. At the moment, Brighton is at the top spot, but you know, sometimes the top spot is it's not really a spot you can get too comfortable with, especially at the beginning of the season. They won their very first game against Everton 3-0. So they will be going up against Manchester United. I'm sure both teams will want to get a win. And then I would say Aston Villa versus Arsenal is another huge game with huge implications. The former manager of Arsenal, Unai Emery, is now the current manager of Aston Villa. Also, Aston Villa defeated Arsenal twice last year. Both home and away, they were the only team to successfully beat Arsenal twice last year. So this will be a game that Arsenal comes out and tries to make a statement, especially because had they beaten Aston Villa last year, they may have won the Premier League.
Whoa.
Huge.
And to basketball, Caitlin Clark, the WNBA star, is mostly known for her shooting abilities, but she recently just broke another record. Can you tell us more about it?
Absolutely. The other night, Caitlin had about 23 points and 9 assists. She is mostly known, as you just mentioned, for her shooting ability. She kind of gives the feeling of like a Steph Curry. She shoots the 3 ball really well from distance, but she has just shattered the rookie assist record for the WNBA. This record has been in place since 1998. It was set by Tisha Panashiro, and it was 224 assists. Caitlin Clark, once she passed it at 225 within the same game, has gone up to 232 assists, and it still has about a couple games left before the season goes into the playoffs.
Caitlin Clark, she is on fire. And lastly, Mokbele, the Paralympics is set to kick off under a week. How well can Africa do?
Great question, Yehaeus. I think if the Paralympics is going to follow in the suit of the Olympics, we saw runners like Letsele Teboho, who really showcased, you know, what it means for a win for Africa. We obviously know Uganda's Joshua Kipchoge, also a phenomenal Olympian as well. So if the energy and the reinvigoration for the continent has been awakened through the wins that Africa has done this Olympics, not only by athletes that were representing Africa, but African athletes that were also representing other countries. Man, it's going to be amazing. And I think the Paralympics, we are going to have to do a really good job also in making sure that we're giving it the coverage that they deserve as well. These athletes are also Olympians. So we're going to be doing our very best to keep you all updated with how everything goes. It will be starting next Wednesday, August 28th, for the following 2 weeks.
VOA sports analyst Mokbele Yabaro, thank you for your input.
Thank you, sir.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Douglas Mpuga, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.